Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is December 8th, 2021. I want to welcome everyone. Thank you so much for your patience, for tuning in, for sharing this program with everyone you know. Appreciate it. You know, we are in a war, as I always say, that we are in a fight. We are in the midst of a very cold civil war. And I will pronounce this now. We are at best hopelessly deadlocked in this country. And I say that based on a couple of interactions I've had over the last couple of days, folks. I want you to know too, both my wife and I have some physical or some medical challenges. So we are undergoing, of course, we have to handle that. And so next Tuesday, I just want to let you know, next Tuesday, my wife's going to have surgery. There's not going to be a show. We'll let you know subsequent to that how many days that this might be dark, but tune in for hopefully the best of or a compilation thereof. So I just want to lead off with that. But in leading off with that, again, back to hopelessly deadlocked, my opening statement here is based on really a couple of interactions I've had over the last 2 days, some with medical professionals, some with others in the field, whether it be retail, commercial, business world, whatever. But I see a growing rift that I don't believe we can ever repair with dialogue. And that saddens me, because the only other alternative is an undesirable one. Yet when people refuse to have a dialogue, to listen to each side, and to make an informed decision based on evidence provided, there is really not much left. There's not much you can do. And I found myself in that position today. I found myself in that position earlier. And I'll tell you something, folks. I know you have too, whether it be with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers, with your employers, with your employees, with whoever you might interact with. There is a level of absolute denial and refusal to the extent where no one wants to talk about the real issues of what we're all going through. Now, in the context of the what's known as obviously COVID-19, which is a result of the gain-of-function experiments with the SARS-2 virus, that complements of been financed by, funded by the NIAID, Dr. Fauci, you know this, Ralph Baric, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, into along with Peter Daszak, Jeremy Farrar out of the UK, and the Wuhan Institute of Virology, that being Shi Zhenglei. You know all of this. But there has come a point now where, despite the mandates that were issued and then snuffed down by the federal court system, that being specifically the Sixth Circuit Court, putting a halt on the vaccine mandates, there is a growing rift in America. And some would argue, and I tend to agree, that this was all done intentionally to cause this growing rift. I would probably characterize that as a desired side effect or a collateral effect of things, because where we're at here is much bigger. And I think Steve Quayle has nailed it with talking about transhumanism and talking about the xenogenesis, all of this. He was ahead of his time talking about this, and he's going to be with me on Thursday, tomorrow, for an hour. But let me just relay to you what happened today, earlier today. And from this, take from it what you will. When I walked into a medical office today. Again, you know, in preparation for some medical procedures I'm going to have done. Nothing serious. My wife, more serious than me, but me, I just have some jaw issues and can't talk anyway, right? But this is a doctor I've known for quite some time, personally and professionally. Now, his office is probably as big as this studio, which is pretty significant. I shouldn't say his office. The waiting room is probably as big as this studio in my office. I mean, it's a pretty huge space. So I walked in there. This was at 7:30 in the morning. You could have shot a cannon at any direction through that through that waiting room. There was no one in there. There was absolutely no one in there. I was the only one in there. And there were two girls behind the glass doors. Sitting behind the glass doors. And you know, you're going to say, well, I know what happened. So, you know, no, let me explain what happened. And let me explain how I handled it. Maybe you have a thought that, hey, you didn't handle it right. So I walked in, dressed like this. And they have an electronic check-in, this kiosk. You know, you check in. Hand sanitizer piled up everywhere, right? Living in the 2020 era. So I check in electronically, and I walk by this glass enclosure where two young ladies are doing whatever they're doing back there, and sat down. And every, like, there was these chairs. You know how the chairs are all, like, tied together? What are they? I don't know, whatever they're called. Almost like benches, but they're tied together. So there was a chair, picture like four chairs, and there's a chair on one side, and then two chairs, and then the fourth chair. But the two chairs in the middle said, don't sit here, don't sit here, do not sit here. So for every chair, there were two that had signs, do not sit here. All right. You know, again, the social, which is now physical distancing, the evolving differences, by the way, in language. So I took a seat and I'm sitting there. And by the way, as I walked by this glass enclosure, this girl opens this glass enclosure as I'm walking by. And she said, sir, do you have a mask? There was a mask that was on a stand out front. I knew this was going to happen, so I picked it up and put it in my portfolio. And I said, yeah. And I kept walking, and I sat down. I didn't put the mask on. That wasn't the question. That wasn't the you know, so I'm sitting there. And a minute later, I hear the squeaking of the door open again. Sir, put your mask on. Okay, I'm in their front room. I'm in their living room. Now, I have to decide. Am I gonna comply, or am I gonna have a dust up there before I see the physician? Out of respect, I put it on, which, you know, with every fiber of my being, I did not want to do that. I did it anyway. But don't worry, it gets better. So I get called back in by a nurse who, actually, the last time I saw her was above a bleeding person outside her building on the sidewalk, where this person was bleeding on the ground, an older woman, and in deep, deep trouble with respect to some lacerations on her head and a lot of blood loss. And, you know, I was covered in blood and no one was really helping her. But anyway, I digress. So I noticed a distinct change in her demeanor, and actually everyone's demeanor inside this office, which I haven't been to this office in months. So I get back into the room, the exam room. And again, I'm the only one there. The nurse is there, and the doctor, of course, is on deck, right? So And remember, earlier this year, I went in there without a mask. So I walked into this room, I took my mask off because I'm the only one in this room. And the nurse comes in. Again, who I kind of know. I mean, I've known for a while. And she says, you need to put that mask back on. I said, why? Well, it's policy. I said, okay, it's not my policy. And it doesn't do anything, right? I mean, you're okay with this? 52 studies on the FDA website. On the FDA website, 52 studies show that masks do absolutely nothing unless it's a N95 respirator mask. 52 studies. Do I need to point this out to you? I'm a little bit agitated. She laughed because ain't doing it. So the doctor comes in. Again, this is a guy however long ago. He comes in. He's a totally different man today. Last time I saw him, he walked in. He didn't have a mask. He hadn't, Eric said to tell this story, so I'm telling it. And so he sits down. He has his laptop. Everything's electronic now. Gone are the notes. Gone are the, the handshakes. Now we have to have fist bumps. Because God forbid you have a handshake. You have skin-to-skin contact. My God, don't do that. And he opens his laptop. He said, first question. Now, by the way, I had a portfolio with Table 2 from the NIH website. I have my medical directive with respect to the treatment. I will not, if I catch this virus, I will not, I absolutely refuse to be treated with remdesivir. I absolutely refuse to be intubated. That's my directive, which is available on Dr. Brian Artis' website. I was on Wisconsin Christian News last night with Dr. Brian Artis and Rob Pugh. Momentarily, I'll talk to you about that. But anyway, so I have the medical directive. I have the medical power of attorney all signed out. And I got Table 2E from the National Institute of Health website in my portfolio, along with copious notes, just in case I need them and have to refer to them. So he said, the first question out of his mouth, and I know I could sense that he was uncomfortable with me being naked faced, okay? Because he would not take his mask off. We're the only two people in the room. By the way, he's jabbed, double jabbed, triple jabbed, jabbed out the wazoo, but he's got his mRNA technology and it's got to be working for him, right? Because he's there. So he said, first question, what do you think of it? Eric the Tech, you know the answer to this, but what do you think the first question out of his mouth was?
Did you get the vax?
There it is. Open the door. Did you get the vax? Now, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, how much of this bridge do I need to burn? Do I want to burn?
I didn't know I was here to be treated for COVID.
That would have been the smart, the correct, the in fact, more, shall we say, charitable, generous answer. But I said, no. I answered his question directly, no. And without attitude, may I add, just no. And what do you think his next question was? Eric the Tech.
Why not?
There you go. Why not? So he asked me, why not? Now, does that not open the door? It does. To me, this is a dialogue. A medical professional and me, right? This is a dialogue. And folks, if you haven't gone through this, what's up? But if you have gone through this, I can relate. But even more importantly, you will go through this, whether it be a doctor, some medical professional, somebody, you will go through this. And you might say, well, the best thing to do is not see a doctor. What happens when you have to? Well, find a good doctor. Exactly. But what happens if you have to? Kind of urgently, but not as an emergency. So you're in this position. So he opened the door. Why not? I said, well, quite simply, number one, it's not a vaccine. It's MRA. It's an MRA experimental technological jab. Number two, it doesn't work. And number three, studies have shown from the VAERS database and other databases, the adverse events based on people without comorbidities or even those with comorbidities, however, except that they've actually had treated themselves prophylactically and proactively, you don't need the vaccine, this jab. And furthermore, and that's as far as I got. And furthermore, he held his hand up and said, stop. I'm tired of the debate. So I'm looking around. You talking to me? Now, obviously, I didn't have that caustic attitude. Not me, right? So I'm not debating you. You asked me a question. I gave you an answer. I'm not trying to debate you. I said, let me ask you a question. And he said, wait a minute. I'm tired. You know, look, I'm tired of losing people. I'm tired of losing patients. I'm thinking to myself, the first thought I had was losing patients because of this. And then he said, I'm tired of losing patients to COVID. I've lost one patient a week. Ah, and I'm thinking now, well, that's because if I was losing one patient a week, I don't know how many patients you have, but I'm thinking you might want to try something different. But I didn't say that, okay? Because he's railing on me now. Then he said, yeah, right now, I've got a really nice woman in the ICU on a ventilator who's going to die. And that was all I could take. And I said, the reason she's going to die, let me ask you this. The reason she's going to die, is she on remdesivir? Have you followed the CDC, FDA, hospital protocol of putting her on remdesivir that causes her organ failure? And is that why you lost a patient a week? Is that the reason you're losing a patient a week? Because you follow the CDC, FDA, NIH, NIAID, Fauci, Dr. Fugazi guidelines? You think that's why she's on a ventilator going to die because of remdesivir? You got pissed. Try to tell them the World Health Organization did a study, 11,000 patients, 480 hospital systems. 11,000, listen to this, 11,000 patients from 480 hospital systems, 20 nations. They did this study. The conclusion from the World Health Organization about remdesivir is the fact that it does not change, does not impact, affect, positively affect the mortality rate. In other words, people die from this. Plus, it costs $3,100 a person. And it requires a 5-day hospital stay. So you keep doing the same thing over and over and over because some overlord that dangles your professional license in front of you says, hey, you're going to do this because, hey, you got to adhere to this. This is policy. Screw your friggin' policy. And it didn't end well. This is why we are not going to have any dialogue with any, because he said, I'm done. I'm done talking. I'm not here to debate. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear anything from you. I'm tired of this. Ivermectin, we have to cut the head off that snake. Oh, you mean the 2015 Nobel Award winning drug, pharmaceutical? that has 4.4 billion doses without any adverse effects. It's on page 2E of the NIH website for the treatment of COVID-19. That ivermectin? You mean that horse paste crap? That snake oil that you call it? We're not going to, folks, let me tell you something. We are not going to win this war without getting in people's faces, or worse, so I say we're hopelessly deadlocked. Hopelessly deadlocked. Right now, we are hopelessly deadlocked. We are not going to advance on this front by talking to sheep, by talking to the brainwashed, by talking to people who won't listen.
When's your next appointment?
Yeah, well. Needless to say, I didn't comply with any further policies. Folks, you got to understand this. And I think everyone does. Right now, we're being told that if we don't like who we work for and the policies that they have, go work for somewhere else. Okay, fine. If you don't like our policies, go somewhere else. Get treated somewhere else. Okay, fine. This is what Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has been doing. Her website, Coach Dave Dallmeyer, Sherry Tenpenny. I stand behind this to have a parallel system, because we are not going to exist under the system that currently exists. We're not going to do that. We can't do that. Because there's a bigger objective here, and you've got to understand what the bigger objective is. This is what I'm leading into. Folks, understand the bigger objective to this. This was played back in November, about a month, less than a month ago. Eric the Tech, the page that I sent you in the show prep information, there's a page there. Let me get to it here. Folks, look at this carefully, please. Understand where we're headed. Know this website, Welcome Leap, with two L's. Welcome Leap, two L's. Understand what this is all about. Welcome Leap is an NGO, and you're going to hear about this momentarily. This is led by Regina Dugan, who served as the 19th director of DARPA, where she oversaw an annual $3 billion portfolio of projects ranging from hydrosonics to RNA-based vaccines. What in the hell is DARPA, which was established back in 1958 by President Eisenhower? What is DARPA doing working with RNA-based vaccines? And what is the Regina Dugan, the 19th director of DARPA, doing as head of Welcome Leap, which is a biomedical company that is involved in RNA readiness and response and getting into the electronic transhumanistic agenda. Well, on that right leadership, the part there that says the right leadership, oh, do look further. Because the Welcome Leap, again, two L's on this, and I would urge everyone to look this up, welcomeleap.org, founded by visionaries Jeremy Farrar, where do we hear that from? And the Welcome Trust leadership with a $300 million seed investment. Welcome Leap intends to assemble international partners such that together we create the critical mass of funding required. Folks, what are their objectives? By the way, Jeremy Farrar was part of the initiative and I'm going to just encapsulate this to cover up the origins, the lab leak origins or the lab origins of SARS-CoV-2, known as COVID-19, and also was a part of the pharmaceuticals and biologicals in this whole process for a number of years. And Regina Dugan is part of DARPA as well. And this is a lot of this, as is delineated in RFK's book, RFK Jr.'s book, which I would urge everyone to get, The Real Anthony Fauci. You've got to, I mean, look, I don't agree with much with RFK Jr., but I do, I respect him and I agree with him on this. Every word of that book, I agree with him on. So, but Wellcome Trust. Let's take a look at the bigger picture. Here it is. Let's go to, let's see, let me look here. Why not, in the interest of time, let's go to clip 4. Transhumanists want to digitize your baby's brain. This, let me just set this up very quickly. What this is in this case, the first 1,000 days of a child's life, they want to inject this nanotechnology into your baby so they can monitor the growth and health and wellness of your baby, really for good purposes, right? For special medical purposes. But folks, understand this. It's bigger than that. This goes into the transhumanistic agenda talked about in the technocracy, talked about by Patrick Wood and talked about by others. Take a look at clip 4. This is from Steve Bannon's program, The War Room. Transhumanists want to digitize your baby's brain. This is a really important clip. Go ahead and play this one.
Leap? What is this? A lot of people in the War Room engine room are all this topic makes their heads blow up. I know you're doing a big piece about it. What is Wellcome Leap, sir?
Well, you know, Steve, as we've discussed, Naomi Wolf has oftentimes pointed out, and many others, vaccination and the policies around it is really where the rubber meets the road in regard to rolling out a technocratic society. And I think it's really important to shine a light on this group, Wellcome Leap, which it's an NGO that was founded last year in L.A. It's run by a woman, Regina Dugan, who comes from DARPA. She was the first female head of DARPA. She moved then to Google. She moved then to Facebook. And when you look into the history of the projects that she's worked on, while obviously they don't call themselves transhumanist, they're clearly transhumanist in nature, including everything from digital tattoos and swallowable digital pills and other Internet of Bodies sort of projects. There really is a great story by Whitney Webb at Unlimited Hangout on this from back in July. So Wellcome Leap, its initiative R3, which is, it stands for RNA Readiness and Response, is a 60 million dollar initiative to fund biofoundries across the planet in order to produce rapidly more and more RNA therapies, including mRNA vaccines. You know, back in March, Wired Magazine announced a huge surge of investment and interest in mRNA vaccines, and this will only increase going forward. And they're looking at, instead of the same sort of 4 to 5 to 10 year period to test for the safety of these vaccines as we've seen traditionally, they want to roll out vaccines for everything from HIV to hepatitis to malaria to herpes and, of course, the flu in a matter of months, meaning that all of the sorts of safety requirements will be bypassed. Now, this initiative, R3, by the Wellcome Group, is funded by, of course, the World Economic Forum, and also funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, both of which have shown a tremendous interest in turning all of our lives into technocratic hellscapes. And the vaccines are certainly a method to get to that point.
Okay, pause it right there. Folks, in the interest of time, because I want to give the entire next hour or full hour to Dr. Richard Proctor, but I want you to understand this. What he is saying here right now is the vaccines. Look, the vaccines were planned a long time ago, and it didn't matter what the virus, what the problem, what the threat, whatever it was, their objective is to stick a needle in everyone's arm, regardless of age. If you have a heartbeat, the needle goes in, and this is a method to create a population of subjugation by these small g gods known as the members of the World Economic Forum. Now, if you don't believe me, quite simply, clip one, it's a minute in length. All right, check this out. This, I believe this was extracted from the war room as well. This might have been from earlier. I'm not sure. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Not anywhere else. By the way, subscribe to us on Rumble. Subscribe to us on Brighteon. Please do that. I'm very passionate about this now. And by the way, I'm going to be announcing some initiatives that, you know, we're going to plow forward here. As things get worse, we are going to get a little bit more incisive. And yes, I'm speaking to you. And by the way, FBI, you still haven't picked up Hunter Biden's hard drive copy. I don't know why. You still haven't picked them up. There's so much going on. The political prisoners of 1-6 still languishing, but I digress. Play the first clip one from the source video as listed. Go ahead. Watch this.
You just look across the board and you can see a lot is happening.
It's really the notion of digital technology pervasively impacting every walk of life in every vertical industry on all parts of the globe.
The speed is mind-boggling. What I'm particularly concerned about, it is how little the world is prepared for the fourth industrial revolution.
Humans and machines are assisting each other, augmenting each other with skills.
Humanity itself will be changed with this superintelligence, and we are at the doorstep of that era.
From text messaging to video conferencing to communication applications to e-commerce through to telehealth diagnostics, the use of technology has been everywhere in our response to the COVID-19 crisis.
It's at the end what the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
So it's the convergence of these. Understand, that's what this is all about. But no, I don't want to debate you over the vaccine, which is totally harmless. I don't want to debate you. I've got people dying, but I don't want to debate you. The medicine, hey, the science is settled. The science is settled. Well, excuse me, but if it's settled science, you got people freaking dying. And it's settled freaking science. I've lost a lot of people. I've lost a patient. You know what? I've lost people close to me too. And you know why I lost people close to me? Is because the hospitals demanded that they undergo the remdesivir treatment, that they stick that remdesivir in there at the cost of $3,100 per regimen. And you got to stay in 5 days and you're going to be intubated and we're going to watch your organs fail. You're going to die a slow, painful death as your kidneys fail and your lungs fill up with fluid from the IV that we put in you. That's how you're going to die, and we're going to make money on it. All in the name of this globalist, transhumanist project. That's what we're facing. And if you want to dumb this down into, hey, it's settled science, I don't want to debate, then we're hopelessly deadlocked. We have nothing to talk about. Nothing. And at that moment in time, we've got a choice to make. And you know what that choice is. Scared my dog. I think Eric left the building. I'm not sure. I want to bring Richard Proctor on because
I was late on the bleep button.
Did I bleep?
Enough delay.
I need a bleep. Sorry. You can tell I'm passionate about this, right? Because not one person, and I'm telling you right now, look, Washington Inslee, Governor Inslee from the state of Washington, and the Republican Governor Bill Lee from Tennessee have already signed orders for internment camps. Internment camps. Do you understand? Internment camps. I put this out over Galileo. And if you're not part of Galileo Alert System, folks, you need to be, because it's coming. It's coming right now. And I'm sorry if I was bleep worthy there. I apologize. But I'm very, 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 very passionate about this because, you know, it's something out of 1930s Nazi Germany right now. Multiple state governments have begun building COVID internment camps to apprehend COVID-positive individuals and drag them into forced confinement until the government says it's safe for them to go home. That's what we're looking at. You're looking at forced internment. You're looking at forced inoculation. Governor Inslee out of Washington and Governor Bill Lee in Tennessee have both signed off on such forced internment. In addition, Washington State back in November placed a want ad on government jobs asking for citizens to join a quarantine team. In other words, have people go out, round these people up, and forcibly take them to these internment camps. Oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. It's not happening. Just like it's not happening in Australia. It's not happening. It is happening. It's happening now. And if you don't do something about it, if we don't do something about it together, then we're all going to end up in camps or dead. As Steve Quayle said, shot in the arm, shot in the head. Either way, you're dead. And I'm telling you, that was so prophetic. And here we are. Now I'm going to stop yelling right now because no one likes it. Richard Proctor, provostinstitute.com. You got 48 hours, folks. 48 hours for a special at provostinstitute.com. Buy one, get one half off. It ends in 48 hours. Why? Because Richard Proctor would go broke if it didn't. You buy one book, get the second one half off. That's provostinstitute.com. In order to get that value, you have to call him. If you want to save the Constitution, friggin' save the Constitution, get the book. Get it for Christmas, a Christmas present. Not some cheap China crap from, you know, Walmart. Get something of value that will last, that you can give to your grandkids, that they can pass down long after you're gone. The gift of knowledge, information, the understanding of the Constitution, saving the Constitution. There it is. Bathroom Economics. And, oh, by the way, Liberty Series. $100 out the door. You better get that before Richard Proctor changes his mind. All right, I'm done yelling. I'm going to bring Richard Proctor in. I got to go take a BP blood pressure. No, I don't. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I thought I was on the air there for a minute.
You were on the air.
I thought I was on the air before, a few minutes ago, when I heard the noise when I was coming down the hall.
Oh. did you hear me yelling?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, Richard, I'll tell you what. I'm to the point right now where I'll be honest with you, okay? I don't see a way out of this. I don't see a way out of this short of a civil war. I don't see an amicable. There's obviously not going to be an amicable divorce. No one is. When I get told, I don't want a debate. When somebody says that to me, okay. Aside from my first inclination to smack him, which I would have got the crap beat out of me because he's a big guy, but I realize something here, Richard. We're at the end of the line.
Yes, we are. The governors like that, like going on. The pattern is in Australia. I was listening to a young lady the other day from Australia giving a report on what happened to her. She was picked up, thrown in jail for 14 days and told if she didn't stay within her 9 square meters or whatever that was, she'd be kept beyond 14 days as a punishment for leaving, on and on and on. She's negative. She doesn't have any COVID stuff, but they still threw her in jail. That's coming, folks. You just heard Washington's governor wants it. Tennessee governor wants it. You can be sure all California legislators want it. You can be sure all of New York wants it. Are you guys ready for all these kinds of things? I read an article the other day that said, if you're not living in a, I'll call them conservative rather than the colors, if you're not living in a proper conservative state, move before you can't move. Folks, this is serious. We're not just, this is not just hobnobbing stuff. Oh, the conspiracy, oh, it's just a conspiracy. Yeah, it is a conspiracy. Absolutely, it is just a conspiracy. The problem is the word theory is misused. Just like it's misused in the theory of evolution, just like it's misused in the theory of relativity. None of these things are proven. But nonetheless, this doesn't matter if it's proven or not. You're going to jail because we believe you should, because you didn't get the jab. And as did you say Quayle said? Shot in the head, shot in the arm, still dead? Yeah, that's right. We're in trouble, you guys. I mean, we are in trouble. Safe and effective? That's a terrible, terrible sentence. Yet people are just lining up. Oh, yeah. Let me see. What is the guy in one of them? I think it's the mayor of New York City talking about you got to have a third booster, or maybe even a fourth booster shot. No, I'm not sure, but you know, there are five shots out right now that if you haven't got all five of them, you're not vaccinated. And then it's been 14 days since you got them, you're still not vaccinated. I mean, it's interesting saying that I can pick up my pencil and jab somebody, but I didn't really do it for 14 days. What? What kind of stuff is that? It doesn't make any difference. I'm going to take something. There it is right here. I'm going to jab you right now, clear inside, and that's not being done for 14 days. That's the stupidity of this organization that's talking to us. Yeah, the CDC, oh boy, what they say goes. Garbage. They're liars. They're cheaters. They're schemers. All they want to do is get you that injection. They want you dead. They want you dead. There is, at the end of the day in America, there's no COVID-19 pandemic. It's the gross ignorance and mindless compliance with unlawful, unconstitutional, maniacal mandates that no thinking person would ever comply with, but we're doing it by the droves. So what does that say about our thinking people? And you know, as soon as they figure out that you'll take one thing, they're going to give you the next. If you'd refuse to take these shots, then stop doing it. That's money making for them. Oh my, World Economic Forum. You guys were sure about the World Economic. You know, that's been going on since early 1900s, every year in Davos, Switzerland. Who is that? That is the International Banking Establishment or the Illuminati. That's the people. That's the Bilderbergers. That's all these people. And it's all theory. Yeah, they didn't have that meeting in Canada a few years ago. That didn't really happen. No. Bilderbergers didn't meet there. That's just theory. Oh, yeah, right. Put a fence around the hotel. They do this every year. They select some place. They put a fence that's unclimbable around the place, discharge temporarily, lay off all the employees that belong to that organization, bring their own people in, and then they have guards to make sure nobody can get in except those that are approved. And that isn't honest reporters either, by the way. They're not approved. Oh, yeah. Bilderbergers. That's just theory. It didn't really happen. Didn't really happen there in Canada. If you want to know all the stuff that didn't really happen, you got to get a copy of the Liberty series.
That's true.
And look all the way through 2,000 pages and you'll discover what really didn't happen.
You know, I've got to say that Richard Proctor, you've laid it out from a variety of sources, many of which have gone from.
They're gone.
Yeah. So I would urge everyone, Liberty Series, great Christmas gift, $100 out the door. And of course, Saving the Constitution, in Bathroom Economics, any of the books at Provost Institute, buy one, get one half off for the next 48 hours until December 10th. If you don't do it now, you're going to be in trouble. Go ahead.
At 12:01 on the 11th, prices all change.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, I got to announce one thing, though, so people will know this is available.
Go ahead.
You see, there's a whole bunch of books sitting in the pipeline for the bookstores. Whole bunch. I mean, several hundred. I'm sitting in the pipeline. Those have already been purchased. I don't have any postage on them. Therefore, we're not increasing the price on those. That's in your local bookstore. $19.95. It'll go out the door until they're gone. Then it won't go out the door. So if you want to buy them from me, you get to pay $25. You go down to your local bookstore, you get to pay $19.95 because I can't justify charging $25 on books that I didn't buy for a high price, or I didn't mail. So it's all done. They're there. They're in the pipeline. You want them? Go get them. You don't want them? They'll be there until the people who want them take them. Several hundred. Several hundred. I won't change the price on those till the last one sold. I won't do it. Okay?
Well, I appreciate that. You know, and folks, look, get yourself edumacated, as Rush Limbaugh used to say. Get yourself edumacated. Go to ProvisInstitute.com. By the way, contact Richard Proctor. I'm telling you right now. If we're still in the air after that first segment, I'm not sure if this is playing. But folks, please contact him. And the numbers.
It's amazing. I get emails. This is astounding, Doug. This is really astounding. I get an email that come in to me. He says, "I want to buy the Liberty Series. How do I do it?"
I immediately
write back and I say, "Call me. Give my telephone number." Immediately. Never hear from him again. What?
Well. No, I guess you really didn't want to.
Yep, I really didn't want to. I get those emails over and over and over again, and bingo, I say call immediately. I send it back, call.
Well,
and I never hear from them again. That's okay. I mean, it's all right. We sell to who wants them. I do not want anybody to buy the book if they don't want it. Okay?
No.
I don't want it. I don't want it sitting on your shelf, because if you buy it and you don't want it, somebody else who wants it won't be able to get it. Someday they won't be available. I talked about that for a couple of years because I thought they would be up. I thought I would be shut. My publication would be shut down by now. I'm surprised we're still up. I'm really surprised.
Well, you know, I wouldn't relish in that joy too much right now, because they are censoring left and right, books, publications, yes, people. And more than that, they're attempting to cancel us, which is even more important why we have to have at least, if not an amicable divorce, then the divorce period, however that plays out, or at the same time develop a parallel system. You know, it amazes me. It amazes me. These faceless, nameless rubes out there, or even the ones with faces, the liberal maniacs say, "You don't like it? Start your own platform." So you start your own platform, and their heads explode because, oh, you can't do that.
That's right.
You know, what's wrong with you folks? This is why I don't believe we have the ability to debate anybody. I'm not, personally, my response now is, based on my experience over the last couple of days, especially today, is I'm not going to debate you. I don't want to debate you at this point. Because if you are so dogmatic in your approach that, hey, I've tried this with 100 people and I lost 100 people, they all died, but it's the same protocol, then don't you think that you might want to take a look at what you're doing and maybe tweak it a little bit?
Nope. You know, not today. Not today. Ignorance, gross stupidity. I'm sorry, folks. I'm astounded. Here we are. It was going to be over. Remember January of 2020? No, you don't remember that far back. I'm sorry. Remember January of 2020 in April? I mean, January, February, March? It'll be over in 14 days. That's what they said.
Yeah, 15 days to flatten the curve. How big is this curve, and how long is 15? What are you talking about, dog years? I mean, or not dog years, but what are you talking, you know, it's amazing to me. And people fall for it. Oh, hey, Richard, the science, you know, we're learning more every day. It's the information is evolving. No, it's not. No. Your lies are showing through. That's
what's happening. Yes. I keep seeing things that say, people are getting together and stopping it, but I don't see it happening. I just see the words. I'm waiting to see it happening. I want it to happen. I want it. I'm willing. I'm wanting. That's out of My Fair Lady. Anyway, no matter. Remember Pharaoh in Ten Commandments. They said, "Let's shut this guy up," said the army guy. And what did the Pharaoh say? No. Let his lies show. Don't do anything. Just let his lies show. Well, you know, today they don't dare let their lies show. They got to stop us because we're telling the truth, and we are, even though we are. I was in a clinic yesterday. My wife's having a treatment. I was in there today, and the big sign, you got to have a mask. CDC says it. That's the rule because the CDC knows. Rah, rah. Okay, they know. There's the rule. I walk in. I never wear a mask, of course. They might hand me one. I say, "Thank you." I take it and put it in my book, the bookmark. Works out really well. Anyway, so here we have a whole passel of people passing out masks who are pulling them down on their faces or down under their, under their noses like this. And I'm thinking, oh, and they leak on the sides. I'm thinking, what are you guys doing? What do you think's going on here? You don't have anything. You call that protection? Good grief. I have a sieve that holds water that will give more protection than that. A sieve doesn't hold water. I got a sieve here, big holes in it. It holds water better than that mask stops the disease. Remember the information I passed out a couple of weeks ago? An oxygen molecule is 252 pictograms. That sounds like something, doesn't it? Well, if you change that, go up to the next, nanograms. I believe that's how you say it. And it's 0.252. You get up to microns. Now we know about microns. It's 0.000252. So the oxygen molecule is, what is that, 1,000 times 1,000? What is that, a million? I'm not sure. That's what the size is in relation to one micron. And you guys think a mask that's got holes in the sides that won't hold anything is going to stop it? Come on. No thinking person would ever comply with this garbage. We just do. Well, yeah, I was told I should, so I will. As soon as those people see that you're willing to take the shot or willing to do this, there's going to be another one right behind it, and another one, another one, another one. And as you show yourself as sheep being led by the nose, by the nose, they'll just get bigger and bigger nose, bigger and bigger stuff to lead you with. That's all they'll do. I mean, this has been going on now for nearly 2 years, and everybody thinks it's a theory. It's okay. Everything is all right. How come it's all right when it just keeps getting worse and worse? Internment camps? Those are concentration camps with just fancy names.
Before you move from the mask, you make too much sense, okay? Because again, I related my experience this morning with masks and stuff, and the 52 studies on the FDA website stating that masks do nothing, they do nothing to stop aerosolized virus or small particles from entering the nasal pharynx. Nothing, zero, nada. Yet these morons still walk around with the mask because they are virtue signaling their compliance to their subjugation to this God, small g, type of operation. I want to show you this. This is, I don't know if we have it. Okay, we're trying to get this. General McLean School District, a teacher or administrator, I'm not sure which. We're going to have this up in a second. Here's the thing, Richard, if you don't comply with masks, before we move on from masks, if you don't comply with being masked, as well as getting the jab, but especially masks, then you're responsible for the murder of others and you should die. This is the message by this General McLean in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, my backyard. This administrator, this teacher, she posts on social networking, Facebook or whatever it was, or I don't know what venue. I think it was Facebook. Or no, it was on GoErie.com. Again, this is in my backyard. Here is a teacher or administrator, somebody responsible for the education of our children, worshiping at the altar of these masks and these jabs and demanding that that we all comply with her. And if we don't, then she hopes that we die a slow and painful death. That's the mentality of these people out there, and people call us members of a cult. This is where we're at, Richard. We'll get it up, but.
I know. Yeah. It's stupid. You can't say it. You can't say it any better. And I got family members all over the place. Oh, yeah, you got to wear that mask. Look at all the deaths that are happening if you don't wear a mask. Hey, guy, every one of those deaths were caused by the vaccine that you say is okay. Oh, my. Safe and effective. What a terrible set of three words, safe and effective. But it's been sold to us, safe and effective. What's safe and effective?
That brings me to my point, and my question to you is, at which point are we going to stop? We can talk all day long. And I'm frankly tired of talking. I want to act, and how to act is the question. In other words, I I've been reading some of the papers early on, you know, Thomas Paine, and what was their limit, you know, back in the day? Richard Proctor, what was their line in the sand, their limit?
We're far beyond the line in the sand they drew, far beyond it.
That's what I thought.
Give me liberty or give me death, okay? You know, we've got to understand that the people who formed this country did not form it by having a picnic in the backyard. No, they did not. They risked their lives. They risked their lives. Many were hung, literally. You know, hanging's a tough deal. The British people hung hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of real, honest patriots. Or they shot them with bayonets. They shot them with muskets. Or they bayoneted them. You know what I'm talking about? These things went on. These people said, no siree, Bob. I will not live in chains. I will not live in the environment that the English government is putting upon us. Well, folks, I want to tell you something. You got to listen close. The English government is nothing compared to what we're doing, our government is doing to us today. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. They taxed a little bit more than they should. Well, I mean, a lot more than they should have. Yes, I understand that. But no, they weren't lining people up and shooting them, because if they were part of their government organization, if the people were a part of their citizenship, they didn't line them up and shoot them. They only lined up those who were visibly fighting against them. Well, today, all those people with masks on are a part of the team, but they're still getting jabs and they're still getting shot by the government that wants them killed. I didn't used to be able to say the government, but I can now. The government.
The government. You're right. I just want to show people and show you, Richard, this on your screen. This is a comment at GoWeary.com. And feel free. Look, I don't know. I don't know the status of this woman. What is that? Mumu? Molly Mumu? Muma. Okay. This was a comment left at GoWeary.com. Molly Muma Williams, Eric the Tech, says, I think it is. Screw this guy and screw them all who are all about hiding behind religious exemptions because they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. People tell you what to do all the time, and you do it. This is such BS. Can you hear the Karen level in her voice? I hope you can. He and his ilk deserve whatever comes their way, including losing jobs, getting sick, and perhaps dying from the virus. But in the meantime, he's going to put all the people around him in danger. Well, if you've got the vaccine, you're wearing 6 masks, you're muzzled up, you got a face shield in front of you, what are you complaining about? Stay home if you're scared. I didn't align the GOP and then take those guns and they profess to love so much and just start shooting. Wait a second. Let's read that again. Just start shooting all of the constituents who think this way. Oh, okay. We're going to have a dialogue with that, with Molly Mumu there, right? We're going to have, and I'll put a link. You know what? I don't know. I'll put a link to General McClain and the school district there, and you can light them up. I don't care. You know what to do. It would be quicker and ultimately safer than putting me and my family at risk. Shoot them all. Go ahead, Richard.
You know. I think of the stupidity of that person. That person's wearing a mask to protect herself from me, who doesn't. So why does she care whether I do or don't? Oh, she didn't think of it that way. She said,
Richard, you got to put a coat on so she doesn't get cold. See, that's the thing. You better put exactly a coat on so she doesn't get cold.
Yep. Even though she's wearing a coat.
She's wearing two coats, a scarf, a hood, and
I got to put one on so she won't get cold. You got to look at it. She is wearing a mask. Okay? And I got to wear one too so she won't get sick. She's got a coat on. I got to wear a coat so she won't get cold. You understand what we're saying here, the stupidity and the hypocrisy of all this? I'm not talking to you, Doug, and I'm not talking to any of the intelligent people in this audience. I'm talking to all the rest. But more than anything else, I'm talking to those who are on the line who are not being reached. They're not being reached. One reason or another, they don't hear about it. Oh, my folks, you've got to. What? Remember this. Just remember one thing. Oxygen molecule transports the virus and the oxygen molecule is 252 pictograms, which is smaller than anything you can see. Well, see that. And the mask won't keep track of anything that's 3,000 times smaller than the holes in the mask. Actually, it's more than 3,000. I mean, it's much, much more. Thousands of times smaller than the holes in the mask. So the mask doesn't protect you? Ha! Huh. Oxygen gets through it, you're breathing. Therefore, the disease gets through it, you're breathing. Do you hear that? Oxygen gets through the mask. Therefore, the disease goes through the mask, hooked onto the oxygen molecule. Now, do you understand those words? Oxygen molecules carry the disease. They do. Oxygen carries it. It doesn't go by its own self. It's carried by something else in the air. And it carries it. But it's carried. Things are carried. They're carried. They're all through the air, oxygen, everything. And they're carried by these things. So in it comes, right through everything, right into your system. Oh, but you're safe because you're wearing a mask. You're safe because you're wearing 20 masks. You're safe because you're wearing 1,000 masks. Well, I tell you what, I put up 1,000 chain link fences, and now I'm safe from mosquitoes. They can't get through.
You know, but see, here's the problem. And folks, as I mentioned earlier, 52 studies, all available on the National Institute of Health's website, find that ordinary masking doesn't reduce viral infection rates, even surprisingly in institutional settings like hospital and surgical theaters. Moreover, 25 additional studies attribute to masking a very grim retinue of harms, including respiratory and immune system illnesses, as well as skin, dental, gastrointestinal, and psychological injuries. 14 of those studies are randomized, peer-reviewed placebo studies. That's on the NIH website. But hey, it's settled science, Richard. You're a conspiracy kook. You actually want to kill us all by not wearing a mask. Contrary to the NIH, when you take this paper to a medical professional and say, look, here are 52 studies on the website that controls your policies, and all 52 say, no, these studies say masks don't work. They say, hey, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to engage in debate.
But
they do. At this point, Richard, we're beyond the pale. We're beyond the mark. At this point, we have to say, you know what? You don't want to talk. You don't want to give. You're dogmatic about this. Well, then we have to. Then let's rock. Go ahead.
I'm afraid. I'm afraid that we're getting closer and closer to a actual rebellion in this country. I'm afraid we are. You know, the problem is that there's so many people that are ready to be lined up to be taken. The internment camps, are we? Australia has turned into the oceans are on, oceans are all around Australia. Australia, with the ocean border, the ocean fence, has turned into one big concentration environment. They arrest you if you've even been around someone who might have had a positive test that was erroneous to begin with. If you've even been around them, they throw you in prison. They don't call it that, but that's what they're doing. The punishment is 14 days. And if you give them any static, the punishment will be 28, 30 days, 40, 50, a year. You give them any static. That's what's going on in Australia right now. We're not talking about next year. We're not talking about science fiction. We're not talking about something happened in the 1700s. We're talking about things right now, today, in a country that used to be free, is now one big concentration camp. Oh, my. And now Tennessee wants to be one. And Washington State's wanted that for a long time. New York, of course, the city of New York. Oh, my. There's millions of people in those cities, and they're all being hamstrung and being put in prison.
Do you think, because we talked about economics last time we were together, do you think that there's some economics at play here? Because,
absolutely.
Okay, I mean, not the obvious, But consider the people who are leaving New York, leaving these blue pit hell holes, these crap holes where people crap on the sidewalk, bust in your car, bust in shops. And everyone's okay with that. And you got Soros DA saying, well, you know what? This organized burglary here, this organized robbery, this organized theft here in San Francisco, okay, we'll arrest 21 and then pose no, you don't have to, don't worry about bail, we'll just let you out on your own recognizance. This is our justice system. It's not justice. This is our legal system that Soros paid for. It's bought and paid for DAs. For gosh sakes, people, understand. And you want to live here. So here's the deal. Maybe the plan, Richard, now this is a question. Maybe the plan is the sane, rational human beings leave these places. The property values, what happens? They crash.
Yeah.
All right. And people like organizations like BlackRock and Vanguard, they go in and they buy the properties for pennies on a dollar. And suddenly they own the property and you're out, you know, they own the big cities. Go ahead.
That's some of the plan. Back to the world as it really is, you guys. Back to the world. Every time you have a recession. Every time there's a drop in the economy, it's because the people in charge want more stuff. They want your stuff. That's the only reason there's a drop. Okay. These things were spontaneous. They were caused by banks. That's not spontaneous. They were caused by banks. By people owning banks, they caused these things. Now, the people that own the banks own the government, own everything. The goal is to buy your property from you for pennies on the dollar, and it really means that. One penny per dollar, what it really means. So the depression, the stock market crash in 29 was planned, occurred, so that Bernard Baruch could buy up properties himself and own them. Others too, but I know him by name. He was part of it. He took his money out of the market. Everybody was buying. And he quietly took all his money out of the market and put it in a safety deposit box. Yes, he did. Then the market collapsed. Whammo! And everything that was lost in that market was bought by him and his cronies. And they now own all of that because of that crash. That's why they happen. These guys, this is the cycle. Now, this is the cycle. It happens all the time. This is the cycle. Everybody, the interest rates are low. They are right now. They're low. People are out there borrowing money to build businesses, buy homes, and up it goes. Now you see my finger. Things are going up. The interest rate, all this production, everything. Look at all the production. Look how high my finger is. Look at all this production. Oh, now it's time. It's time for us to get our hands on that. So down it comes. What do? They begin to destroy money. Since there's no money, people can't purchase things. So those businesses and those homes were all purchased and paid for or started by these people who thought they were going to do well because they borrowed money from the bank to do well. That was the plan. And then here comes these guys. Well, we want that business. We want that one. Well, we don't want to pay for it. We just want it. So they cause the market to crash. Now the guy has that business. He can't support it because nobody can buy from him. So he's going to go bankrupt. And these guys in the background just come around and they'll buy the business for nothing. Pennies on the dollar is the word we use to say free. Now they bought all that. Okay, now let's do another cycle. So now the interest rate comes, it comes back down again. It comes back down. And now we do it again. We have another cycle. We go out, we build businesses, we build a core, we buy homes, we build homes, we do all this stuff, and we get to the top. Well, we want those things. So they destroy money, da-da, and down it goes. And now those people are all bankrupt. They lose their homes. Who do they lose them to? They lose them to the banks. They lose them to the mortgage companies. They lose them to Bernard Baruch and his cronies. Now, he's not around anymore, but his cronies are. Soros is one of his cronies. This is planned so that they can buy the stuff that you've done. You spend the time to make it work. You're the ingenious person. You put it together. They fund you so that you, fat, dumb, and happy, think you're going to be successful until they decide they want your stuff. Then they crash the market and take it from you because you can't afford to pay it, because you don't have any money, because the banks don't, you don't have any income because nobody can buy your product. Since they can't buy your product, you lose. So you're in the bottom again. And another opportunity comes along. Now your neighbor will do it this time because you're not going to get caught again. You're fed up. Your neighbor comes on. He sees that. He sees, oh, I got a new idea. I'm going to do that. He spends time, effort, hundreds of hours a week. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Fights hard. Get it done. After he gets it done, it's up here again. Now, oh, we want that business and that one. Crash the market. They fail. They buy the business from you. They buy all of your effort from you for a few pennies. And then they wait for it to happen again. Every time there's a business cycle, it's because those people want your stuff. And they cause them. They cause these cycles. Now, that's economics. Pure, absolute economics. Businesses, these organisms, these things are caused by money going up and down. There's no money to buy things. You can't buy them. You can't buy them. The guys don't have the money. They can't pay it. They lose it. Then they get the interest rate back down again. People can borrow money again. They get money again, so they do it. And it's not. You shouldn't not do it because of this. You should just know what's going on. Here's the key: don't get in debt. Oh, did I say that? Don't get in debt. You know, the whole thing is based on the fact that you're in debt. If you weren't in debt, they couldn't take it from you. Now, how did Bill Gates start? Did he go out and borrow $10 million? No, he did some stuff in his garage, and he made it happen. Do you know 95% of businesses fail? Did you know that's a fact? They fail very quickly within the first 5 years.
But by the way, just so you don't get inundated with the emails, Bill Gates got some help.
I'm sure that. Don't get me wrong. But that's how you start. I understand.
Yeah.
Everybody takes everything everybody says. Absolutely perfect. Well, what about this, and this? No, folks. They start by doing something on what you call the grassroots level. I didn't borrow money to write the books. I wrote the books. Couldn't afford to get them printed, so I established my own printing company, my own publishing company, so I could publish them. I didn't go out and ask people. They were going to charge me $8,000 a book to publish it and print, and I'd get a few copies. Then eventually they put them on sale and bought it for $4.95 or less when the people stopped buying. They'd sell everything off and I would lose everything. All the time I spent, I would lose. They'd get it. That was the plan. I didn't do it. I didn't like that. I don't do that.
I don't want to derail you, but just real quick to your point, and I'm going to let you get right back to it. The other day I got a call from a publisher who said, hey, your book is doing real well in the dark of night. By the way, folks, available on Amazon and also HagmanStore.com. But anyway, got a call from a publisher saying, we want to take over publishing of your book. And I said, why? Well, because it's a good book and it's selling. I said, yeah, it's over 50,000 copies in 11 countries, you know, on and on. Well, let us widen your reach. I said, okay, so what are the details? Well, it's kind of funny you mentioned $8,000 because for agent representation, it would be like close to $8,000. It was $7,000 and change, but close to $8,000. I'm thinking to myself, what, I'm going to pay you, and then you're going to take over publication of my book, be my agent, and then, but you'll have author copies too. So you have a few copies, but we're going to take over the entire process. Oh, and by the way, how much are you making on your book? And I said, it's pretty thin, but, you know, X amount of dollars. Oh, well, you know, yeah. We're going to have to take more out of the publishing cost. We're going to take more. So although you're going to make less, you're going to sell more. I said, oh, really? Can you guarantee me that? No, I can't guarantee that. But you know, so that's how it goes. So you're absolutely right, Richard. By the way, what he's talking about, Richard Proctor is talking about, is his books, including Saving the Constitution, on his website at provisinstitute.com. Buy one, get one half off, that and Bathroom Economics and all of the books on his website, except the Liberty Series, until 12:01 a.m. on the 11th of December. Okay, that's Eastern Standard Time. Eastern Time. I don't know, the standard daylight, I don't know. But it's the real time. So folks, do this now, right now, today, tonight. Do this right tonight. Buy, and the Liberty Series, $100 out the door. You've got to do this. You've got to do it. You got to do it right now. Pull the trigger. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, the best price will be 125 or more after the 11th.
Yep.
But the best price will be 125. So you want to sell, you want to get it now for 100? Go ahead. Do it. I got the copies. You want to get Saving the Constitution now for buy one and get another half price, so they're $15 each instead of 20? Do it right now. Do it, do it, do it. Because on the 11th, it's 25. Do it. There are a few books I mentioned earlier. There are a few books in the bookstores you can still get at a good price as long as they're there, and then their prices are going to go up. As long as we can still keep selling them, as long as we can keep the post office working, as long as people will still send them. I can't send them to you by getting on my bicycle and riding into your home. I can't do that. But if the post office goes down the tubes, I'll not be able to get them to you. Did you know the word out that I'm hearing on my system that the post office first class will take 5 days longer here very soon? 5 days longer? Oh, media mail will take even longer than that. If they still allow it.
If they, you know, you're right. I mean, and everything is changing too.
Yes.
And, you know, look, the postal company and who founded the post office? You were around then. Was it Franklin that did that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Franklin did the first one. I was just down the block, and he talked with me about it. I said, you know, it really will work. It's going to go gangbusters in the future. So go ahead and start that.
You know, yeah. I love you, right? That wasn't a dig, okay? That was a joke, all right? Folks, don't
send me. It's true. I was there. What was there? I'm older than dirt. It's true. I was there, you know. I was there helping Moses come down the mountain, you know. I was there, you know. Oh,
I would have loved to have been there to, you know, to watch and to be a part of that history, but what do I know?
The bottom line, folks, is all you have to do is learn and you know you were there. All you have to do is learn and you can imagine that you were doing it. You really can. It's called the imagination. You'll learn all about the imagination when you watch the Miracle on 34th Street over this Christmas time. The imagination, you get to be wherever you want to be, but you have to know it to get there. If you don't know anything about it, you can't go. But the bottom, you know, we just aren't understanding what's happening around us because we don't know our economics. This book right here, I've had it out. Oh, I've got to get it right. I've had it out for a long time now. People have bought it. Yes, they have. And they've read it. Yes, they have. But not enough. Not enough. You just don't know what's going to happen to you. I guarantee you that the next business cycle, the next one that happens, if there's any country left for one to happen, that's also an issue. But the next business cycle, these guys I'm talking about are going to take all that stuff away from you again because you didn't prepare yourself. Debt. Don't get into debt. Don't do that. I started my own publishing company. Now I can get them published. I go to the printer. I have my own printer. I can get it all done less than I could have had it done before. They just want my book because they want it off the shelf. Do you remember Zest soap? Do any of you guys remember Zest?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can you find it today?
I don't know. Can you? No.
You cannot. You cannot. You cannot. It was bought by Dove, who then shut it down.
I'm still using a bar of Zest soap from the 70s. Don't come near me.
Well, you had to keep it. You had to keep it. I had a lot. I had a lot, but I ran out. So I said, well, I'll just go get some more. There weren't any on the shelves. Why not? Dove bought it and closed it off. That's what happens. Dove buys it, or some company buys it and shuts it down. They don't want you to have it. It's a good item. A lot of things that are really good items that you can buy on the shelf disappear. Why? Because some other company buys them, shuts them down, because it's competition. They don't want the competition. Accountants.
This is multinational corporations, Richard. This is what's happening. So yes. on the far left, you've got government consolidating power. On the right, if there is a right in this, you've got the corporations buying up the competition, consolidating the product lines, much like you see the consolidation of media. Okay, and it's you're exactly right. You keep going, please keep going.
It's the economics of the world. And again, if you knew what's going on in economics, you could avoid this kind of stuff. If you knew what was going on in banking, you could be a part of establishing a bank that would stop these things. I've tried to do it. I can't get anybody interested. It's amazing to me when I say to someone, I can get you out of state taxes completely. never have to pay another state tax. All you have to do is have this public citizens banking system that's established outside of the Federal Reserve. Now, the public banking systems, there's a big push on it now. Oh, all kinds of push on it. But I want you to notice something. Every one of the new public banks is under the Federal Reserve. Therefore, they're not public banks. They're just using a new name, making you pretend like it's there. Public citizens banks do not belong to the Federal Reserve, because if the Federal Reserve is responsible, then they will shut you down if they don't like you, or they'll just, not you, the bank, or they'll just take all the money from the bank, and that's you. They'll just take all the money from the profits from the bank and keep them in Europe. Oh, they won't. They bring them back by the politicians. It's a cycle. But here's the key. If you have a public citizens bank, and I have a piece of helping you get it started. I can't guarantee that somebody else does. And I have a piece of helping you get it started. Then I will help you not be a part of the Federal Reserve. I will help you have your own interest rates, which now I'm talking about interest rates that you're paying your depositors. Won't be 0.00001 or some number like that. It will be 2.5% to 3%. What? What? I got that when I was in high school. You know, I got 3%. It's normal. Why isn't it normal today? Because of the Federal Reserve. That's why it's not normal today. They want more money. Next.
Wait a second. Can't we do this, Richard? And I'm very serious about this. You know, you talked about this in theory, but as a practical matter, trying to do this, what you tried to do so-called yesterday, can we do it today? Is it possible?
Still there. These are the steps, and it's hard because some of the guys that are going to have to help the steps are being paid not to do it. But these are the steps. Your legislature is honest. Oh, dear me. Oh, what did I just say? Oh. Well, anyway.
There goes that.
The legislature allows you to organize this bank under the authority of the 10th Amendment outside of the Federal Reserve. The state has that power. Okay, they can do that. Banking is not supposed to be a part of the federal government. Federal Reserve is unconstitutional. Know this, it is completely unconstitutional. There's no basis for it. It's a foreign organization run by foreign people to the detriment of you. Okay, now, when you borrow money from them, they write a check and create the money and give it to whoever you want to buy something from, okay, like a car or anything. They write a check. Credit cards, they always write checks. They write checks. You use a credit card? Use a lot of credit cards. They want you to use credit cards because, you know, every time you will use a credit card, they make up money, they create money, and they can create all they want. All right, now, so a public citizens bank outside of the Federal Reserve, you've got to have capital. So you have to have a little capital. So someone with money has got to understand what you're doing and want to do it. These are hard steps. But I've been talking about it for 5 years and nobody's done one that I know of, okay? And then that capital allows you to get going as a bank. Now, what do you do with that capital? Well, the first day, remember, this is capital now, $2 million to start your bank. That's enough. It's really enough.
Well, shouldn't we have the equal amount of gold and silver priced reasonably?
No. I'm sorry. Don't even talk about that. No.
All right.
We don't have enough gold and silver to do that, so let's not even talk about
okay.
that.
Okay, okay. Just asking.
What can happen today if your legislature would let you, okay? The first thing, you have to have $2 million or so to get started. You realize that the very first day the banks open its doors, with that $2 million, they can loan out $18 million that day? Yes, they can. And that's not deposited money. They really don't have to. That's money that's not deposited. That's the capital. When the deposits come in, they can loan out another. Let's say another $1 million come into capital. Now they can loan on another $9 million. Because you see, they nine times anything you deposit and make it up. Now, when you make payments, okay, the end of the year, everybody's at end of a few months, you've loaned out that money and people making payments back to you. Every time you get a payment back on any of those, 100% of that money is available to loan out. Again, 100%. And those loans come in along with the loans that already did, and all of that 100% is available to loan out again. But you don't loan it out like the Federal Reserve stuff, okay? You loan it out at an interest rate like 6 or 5%, and you pay deposit. You pay deposits on savings of like 2 and 3%. So people make money on their deposits, and they make money by saving money on the loans that they do take out. But it's all within the state. It's all within the state you live in, okay? That's where it is. It's not overseas Europe or anything. It's within the state.
We used to have those.
Yes, we did. We did. We had them. Yes, we did. If I got to say it this way, if I can be a part of helping you set up the bank, I can guarantee you that within 5 years, you can support your state operation completely. Yes, completely. No taxes will be required any longer for any state activity. No fees, nothing. No sales tax, no gas tax, nothing. No property tax, nothing within 5 years. I can just get in, you can get us, and I'm a part of helping you get established, because you don't want thieves to do it. They will. I'm sorry, the thieves will get in and do it. You've lost the whole deal. You gotta keep it outside of the thieves, and they're hard to find. Hard to find people that are honest, but I'll help you if you want. I'll help you, okay? I'll help you do that. I'll even if it's okay with you guys, I'd even be on your board to make sure it stays that way.
Oh, we're gonna make you the next Treasury Secretary of the new United States of America after we kick some butt and take some names, take this over, change the things the way they are, or change things from the way they are.
We have to get honest people somewhere, Doug. So we have to get honest people somewhere.
I know we have a lot of honest people listening to this and watching this. I know that.
Well, let me just say this. If there's a group of people in Alabama right now today or any other state that wants to do this, I have the information. I'll send it to you. I'll step in and help you do it. I'd like to be on the board when you establish it, because I want to make sure it stays proper. Okay, because if you don't have somebody on the board that understands what's going on, it'll get screwed up. Okay? And I will help you make this happen. In months, we'll have things going. You know, you walk into a bank, well, we don't have any money to loan today. That's garbage. They have millions and millions of dollars every day. Do you know what happened? How much money does a bank really flow? I talk about $1,000. They can loan out $9,000. No. Their capitalization and their stuff, their size is in billions. So they have millions of dollars coming in every day from payments on loans. And that money goes immediately into their profit till, I don't tell you that, but that's where it goes. And they loan out those millions again. And all that money goes to the Federal Reserve. But if you have a bank that I would help you establish, it would not be a part of the Federal Reserve. And that bank, you keep those millions of dollars in your state, and then you run your state with that, and your representatives no longer have to tax you. No sales tax, no property tax, no federal income coming in from the federal government. None of that. No siree. You're a free country again. You're a free state. You got to have a public citizens, a proper public citizens bank, though. And to be a proper bank, it must not be a part of the Federal Reserve. It must be authorized by the state under the authority of the 10th Amendment. It's all legal, correct, and can be done. Any state that will can have it. And there's no limit how much money the state can have from that banking system. As people build homes and pay it back, okay, I'll make another statement so you'll know this for sure. When banks who operate now, those banks you were using, when they spend $1,000, they can loan out $90,000. They take collateral, your cars, whatever, collateral. They take that collateral to the Federal Reserve. This is really going on every day. They take that collateral to the Federal Reserve, and with that collateral, they borrow $90,000. $10,000 goes to $90,000. They take the collateral, borrow 90, bring it home, deposit it. How much money can they loan out today? After midnight, they deposited that 90,000. They can now loan out 81, 810,000.
810. This is crazy. Richard Proctor, we got to stop right there. Look, folks, take advantage of this, these books. Go to provisinstitute.com. Do it tonight because you only have 24 hours. Constitution, if you can keep it, Saving the Constitution, Bathroom Economics, buy one, get one half off. God bless you, Richard Proctor. Thank you so very much. Looking forward to next week. Got to go. Good night.